Hello, welcome to your daily briefing, March the 16th, 2021. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we can continue our study today of your word. We thank you for that word. We thank you for all that you've shown us in advance, so that today, as we look around us, we see the events that you have foretold. We ask that you would give us the strength that is necessary, that we might walk according to your will and be filled with your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today I'd like to look at the subject, voting rights. Voting rights. And I'm sure that by now you're aware of the fact that with all of the accusation of fraud in the last election, there are moves being made by states to restrict voting in certain localities and neighborhoods. Today I'd like to take a look at that and to see how serious it has been. And the first article that I'd like to take a paragraph from is found in the Brennan Center for Justice website. That's the Brennan Center for Justice website. This particular article was published on February the 24th, 2021. And the title of the article is State Voting Bills Tracking 2021. State Voting Bills Tracker 2021. And there's a subtext to that heading. It says, state lawmakers continue to introduce voting and election bills at a furious pace. The subtext again, state lawmakers continue to introduce voting and election bills in a furious pace. Remember now, it's the Brennan Center for Justice website, published February the 24th, 2021. Now here's one paragraph, just one paragraph I'll give you. It says, in conjunction with the Brennan Center report on state voting proposals, below is a list of restrictive expansive bills that we're tracking to date. Now, of course, I'm not going to read the list because in just a second you'll see why. As of February the 19th, 2021, state lawmakers have carried over, pre-filed, or introduced 253 bills with provisions that restrict voting access in 43 states, and 704 bills with provisions that expand voting access in a different set of 43 states. Note that in some cases, a single bill can have provisions with both restrictive and expansive effects. So now, that's all I'm going to read. You can go to that website and take a look at all 253 states. They've got it listed there. And you can also take a look at the 43 states involved. And you'll notice that in the restriction area of those bills, there are certain locations and counties and places where they know for a fact that the voters will come in opposition to the state government. And so that's where the restrictions are. And then there are provisions that will expand voting access. And that is located in locations that they know will be voting on their side. And most of these states that are passing these bills have control of the local governments, all right? So notice again that particular paragraph and the rest of the article, quite expansive an article, is the Brennan Center for Justice website, and it deals with the State Voting Bills Tracker 2021. Now, there is another article here that I'd like to share with you almost immediately, and that is the ACLU, in the ACLU website. In their website, this is what they say at the beginning of the website. The subtopic is fighting voter suppression. Here's what it says on the ACLU website, fighting voter suppression. Voting rights are under attack nationwide as states pass voter suppression laws. These laws lead to significant burdens for eligible voters trying to exercise their most fundamental constitutional right. Since 2008, states across the country have passed measures to make it harder for Americans, particularly black people, the elderly, students, and people with disabilities, to exercise their fundamental right to cast a ballot. These measures include cuts to early voting, voter ID laws, and purges of voter rolls. Now, that's what the website says at the very beginning with regard to fighting voter suppression. And then further down on the same website, on the ACLU website, there is an article there published on March the 10th, 2021. And the title of that article is One Key Reform Can Fight Voter Suppression. One Key Reform Can Fight Voter Suppression. All right, let's take a look at that article. We need a renowned commitment to democracy itself and to the basic principle that every individual should count equally in our political processes. There's one trend election observers can be confident of year after year. Record turnout will always be swiftly followed by a tidal wave of voter suppression efforts. The 2008 election was the first presidential election in American history in which voters of color constituted one quarter of the nation's eligible electorate. That election also saw a massive shift in the racial composition of early in-person voting, with black voters casting their votes early in person more frequently than white voters can, as an estimated 24% to 17% nationally. This record turnout was followed by an unprecedented effort to cut back early in-person voting in states including North Carolina, Ohio, Wisconsin, and Florida, which notoriously tried to ban voting on Sundays, a move that would have effectively eliminated souls to the polls efforts by black churches. And of course, souls to the polls efforts is something that the black churches do. After they finish church on Sunday, the pastors take all of the members and they go souls to the polls. They go and they do their voting because he's got all of his church members together. Continuing. We're now witnessing a rerun. The 2020 presidential election saw more than 159 million votes cast, shattering the record for the most voters to ever participate in an election in American history by more than 20 million voters. The 2020 election had the highest turnout rate since the 1900 presidential election. 7 of the 10 states where turnout rose the most conducted the elections entirely or mostly by mail. The percentage of black voters casting their ballots by mail more than doubled from about 18% of black voters in 2016 to an estimated 38% in 2020. And like clockwork, we're now seeing an onslaught of proposed legislation to cut back voting by mail, including in states like Arizona, Iowa, Florida, Wisconsin, and most notoriously, Georgia. In Georgia, pending legislation would require voters to submit photocopies of their identification twice when seeking to vote by mail, bar election officials from affirmatively mailing absentee ballots applications to voters, reduce the window for requesting absentee ballots, place restrictions on drop boxes for returned ballots, and estimate no excuse absentee voting altogether. It's not just absentee balloting that's under attack. Invoking the big lie, legislators throughout the country have proposed not only a staggering array of other restrictions on registration and voting, but even restrictions on citizen-led ballot initiatives and bans on donations for election administration resources. The single reform that would do the most to fight back against the voter suppression efforts sweeping the country is Election Day registration, which allows eligible voters to register to vote and cast a ballot at the same time on Election Day, effectively eliminating earlier registration deadlines. The 10 states with the highest turnout in 2020 all had same-day registration, with 9 of the top 10 offering same-day registration on Election Day. One of the top 10, North Carolina, only offers same-day registration during its early voting period. The consensus among political scientists is that early demonstration boosts turnout by 2 to 10 percentage points, with particularly strong gains among historically lower turnout or disenfranchised groups like young, lower income, and black voters. Allowing registration and voting on the same day reduces the logistical hurdles associated with voting by simplifying a two-step process into a single trip to a polling location. The early demonstration record allows voters to update or correct their registrations on election day, which prevents the disenfranchisement of those who have recently moved or have been erroneously purged from the rolls. And perhaps most significantly, voter interest is at the highest once voting has commenced. That plan capitalizes on that interest to bring new voters into the process. The good news is that 21 states and the District of Columbia have already enacted some forms of same-day registration, as set on this map from the National Conference of State Legislatures. And of course, there's a map right here that you can't see. All right. These states are a mix of blue states, for example, California, Colorado, red states, Idaho, Utah, Wyoming, and purple states, Maine and Wisconsin. This plan is not just popular across the ideological spectrum. It is increasingly so, as six states have adapted it the beginning of 2018. That would be Maryland, Michigan, Nevada, New Mexico, Utah, and Washington. Efforts to expand EDR should focus on states that currently lack it and where the political environment would seem to make it a no-brainer, such as Massachusetts and New York, which are both currently considering EDR. Let's hope they find the political will, because the absence of EDR in these two states is a common talking point by opponents of expanding voter rights in other states. We also need to fight back against an effort this year to eliminate EDR in Montana. If successful, it would make Montana the first state in the country to repeal EDR, and ultimately national legislation for EDR, as is contained in H.R. 1, which passed the House in early March, would establish a national standard so that all Americans can share in the same registration and voting opportunities enjoyed by people in states like Utah and Wyoming. But there's an important caveat. While EDR and other reforms aimed at increasing voter turnout are absolutely essential to fighting back against voter suppression, they are insufficient to cure all that ails our democracy today. The very structures of our political system are conspiring to prevent the will of the majority from translating into representative self-government. For one thing, extreme gerrymandering has largely locked up the political process in many states, distorting election results. After the 2017 and 2018 elections, five state legislatures were controlled by parties that had lost a majority of the statewide vote. That would be Virginia, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Michigan, and North Carolina. The next round of redistricting, which starts later this year, presents opportunities to address these distortions. But failure to reform these maps could entrench another decade of minority rule in these and other states. At the national level, the anti-majoritarian problems facing our democracy are likely to grow even worse. People of color already constitute a majority of the children in the U.S. and are projected by 2045 to be a majority of the total U.S. population. But at roughly the same time, about 70% of the population will live in just 15 states, which means that just 30% of the country will choose 70% of senators and a supermajority of the Electoral College. To compound matters, Americans across the ideological spectrum are increasingly falling prey to disinformation, finding difficulty agreeing on basic facts, and losing confidence in democracy itself. Ultimately, We need to make registration and voters simpler and easier, and to boost turnout to respectable levels. But doing so will not solve everything. We need to a renewed commitment to democracy itself and to the basic principle that every individual should count equally in our political process. That will be the work of us, not of lawyers, but of all of us as Americans. And of course, that's the end of that article. And of course, you realize what these people are trying to do now. They're trying to cut back on certain parts of the population to make absolutely sure that they are in charge, not just of the state legislatures, not just of the state governments, but they want to know that they are in charge of the entire nation, the federal government, the Congress, the Senate, etc., etc. And most definitely, they want to be in charge of the presidency. Now, that's what we're seeing happening here. And it's a rather serious matter because it's not going to get any better. Of course, there will be those who will come out against it. But as happened in 2020, if the people of this nation step out and decide to vote and stand in lines and remain patient, even though they might be online for 4 or 5 hours or even more, all of the restriction where voting is concerned might yet be defeated by the sheer numbers of those who will come out. Before I close today, I'd like to share with you a part of the Voting Rights Act of 1965, so that you can get a feel for exactly what it was saying in that piece of legislation. This bill was passed on August the 6th, 1965. An act, and this is the name of the act, an act to enforce the 15th Amendment to the Constitution of the United States and for other purposes. And as I said before, it's worth your taking a look at. I mean, it's very complex and very filled with legal language, but I do believe that it would be worth your taking a look at. You get a feel for some of what is involved here and the trouble that the founders of this nation went to just in order to put this together. Again, it's the Voting Rights Act, August the 6th, 1965, an act to enforce the 15th Amendment to the Constitution of the United States and for other purposes. Here's some of it. Being enacted by the Senate and House of Representatives of the United States of America in Congress assembled, that this act shall be known as the Voting Rights Act of 1965. Section 2. No voting qualification or prerequisite to voting or standard practice or procedure shall be imposed or applied by any state or political subdivision to deny or abridge the right of any citizen of the United States to vote on account of race or color. Now that's section 2. And I thought I would start there, because I am actually reading you verbose here. The act to enforce the 15th Amendment of the Constitution of the United States and for other purposes. It was enacted by the Senate and House of Representatives of the United States of America in Congress assembled on August the 6th, 1965. Let me read section 2 again. No voting qualification or prerequisite to voting or standard practice or procedure should be imposed or applied by any state or political subdivision to deny or abridge the right of any citizen of the United States to vote on account of race or color. Section 3. Whenever the Attorney General institutes a proceeding under any statute to enforce the guarantees of the 15th Amendment in any state or political subdivision, the court shall authorize the appointment of federal examiners by the United States Civil Service Commission in accordance with the Section 6 to serve for such period of time and for such political subdivisions as the court shall determine is appropriate to enforce the current guarantees of the 15th Amendment as part of any interfacetious order if the court determines that the appointment of such examiners is necessary to enforce such guarantees, or as part of any final judgment, if the court finds that violations of the 15th Amendment justifying equitable relief have occurred in such state or subdivision. So in other words, not only does the Constitution say you can't do this, you cannot stop somebody from voting just because you want to. Then the federal government says, if it looks like if it's going to happen, then the federal government can put in a watchdog operation through the courts to protect that which is being done. And notice this next part of it here. It says that the court need not authorize the appointment or of examiners if any incident of denial or abridgment of the right to vote on account of race or color have been few in number and have been promptly and effectively corrected by state or local action. In other words, if they're doing something against race or color or whatever, but it has been corrected, then they don't need to apply the authorized examiners. But if they do, then they are falling under the jurisdiction of the courts. One last paragraph before we close. If in a proceeding instituted by the Attorney General under any statute to enforce the guarantees of the 15th Amendment in any state or political subdivision, the court finds that a test or device has been used for the purpose or with the effect of denying or abridging the right of any citizen of the United States to vote on account of race or color, it shall suspend the use of tests and devices in such a state or political subdivision as the court shall determine is appropriate and for such period as it deems necessary. Now, it's pretty obvious that when they were putting this together, they realized that the problems that they might have in the future. Well, I want you to know that the future is here right now. And we'll probably continue to take another look at this in our next session. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have provided the earth to help the woman, this nation, to help the remnant. But we know that that period of time would not last forever. We know that that beast that comes up with two horns will ultimately begin to speak as a dragon. The dragon has begun to speak. And we ask, Lord, that you would help us to stand with you. Give us the strength and the endurance and the faith that is necessary so that we might indeed comply with your will and be strengthened by you alone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again today, we must thank you for your consistency in listening to the broadcast each and every day. We're grateful that God has drawn us together that we can study. And we'd like to make an appeal to you that you make a contribution to this ministry so that we might be able to finance our continued service in this area. God bless you and thank you. This has been your daily briefing, March the 16th, 2021.